Matthew chapter number 28 and verse number 16 is where we'll start. Matthew 28 and verse number 16. This passage of scripture has come up a lot recently and just in the last year and a half. And I've really grown to love this passage, and I hope that's the same for y'all. And this verse number 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." First, I just want to ask the question, is the Great Commission possible? Is the Great Commission possible in our generation? And can you say at the end of your life, can you say at the end of your life, I'm free from the hand of all men, the blood of all men, because the gospel has reached everyone. Is that even possible? And second question to that is, would God give us a command that is not possible? He's going to watch us, try and fulfill his command. But he'd be a real cruel God to give us a command that is impossible for us to complete. And I think it is impossible for you and I to complete it, but in verse number 18, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then it says, Go ye therefore." And it just shows that we can go therefore because Jesus has all power. And we don't have to rely on ourselves and on our strength to fulfill the Great Commission because Jesus has all the power in heaven and on earth to fulfill the Great Commission. And so, it shows that if we're willing to go where he leads and preach the gospel where he wants us to, we don't have to worry about saving people because we can't save people. God has the power to save people, but we don't. And so, we preach the gospel to all men, and the Holy Ghost will do the work that we can't. And so it is possible to fulfill this Great Commission. If you turn with me to Romans chapter number 15, if I had a map, I would be able to show you a little bit more what this verse really means. But Romans 15 and verse number 19, we see that Paul fulfilled the Great Commission in his lifetime. So in verse number 19, it says, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God," you're seeing the power. It's not of Paul's power. It's the Spirit of God, power from them, from that. "So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." And so he's just noting that that's thousands of miles apart. It's up through Turkey. So from Jerusalem up through Turkey, pretty much to, pretty much into Italy. It's a lot of land, and pretty much the known world at that time, just a little bit less, but you had apostles going out to, like Thomas went to India, and you had, all these apostles going out and preaching the gospel everywhere. Paul was able to say that he was able to preach the gospel from Jerusalem to Illyricum in his lifetime, and just showing that he completed, what God had him do. And I believe that he was able to say that the Great Commission was completed in his lifetime. And obviously we live in a different age, a different lifetime than Paul. And so we have that command to each and every one of us to go ye therefore and preach the gospel. That's our command. That's our Great Commission. And I like to say that the Great Commission is kind of like Jesus' last will and testament. That's the last thing that he said on earth. That's the last thing that he gave to us. And, just in physical sense, when somebody has a last will and testament, people go to great lengths to to fulfill that. You know, I mean, when Grandpa passed away, you had Jana and the daughters there. I mean, they wanted to fulfill Grandpa's last will and testament, right? I mean, that's what you do when someone passes away or leaves this life, right? And how much more should we be willing and really just burdened to get to fulfill Jesus' last will and testament? The last thing that he said on earth, the last commandment that he gave us, we should be doing everything in our power and in his power to fulfill that. And over there, just being able to see that they were doing, you know, they're learning that they can send people out. They can fulfill the Great Commission in their country. They can fulfill the Great Commission in their city, in their village, in their town. And they're willing. I mean, they love the Lord. They're trying to complete this Great Commission. And, you know, it's humbling to think that they're trying to get the gospel to the whole world over in Papua New Guinea, out from Papua New Guinea. And they have a tenth of the resources that we have, you know, and we have so much in America. We have, you know, we could fundraise however much money we want in a couple weeks, probably, and to do whatever we want. And, you know, over there, it's, you know, they can't do that. And yet they're still getting the gospel out. They're still sending missionaries out. They're still sending preachers out. And, you know, it's humbling to see that, you know, God doesn't need all the money to send somebody out. He just needs a willing servant. And I think that's where we've lost so many people in America. You know, I'm worried about money. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about having a good life, you know, whatever. If you would, you know, if you just surrendered to the Lord, he'd give you the best life possible. You know, are there going to be trials? Are there going to be tribulations and things that, you know, you don't want to, it's going to be hard to go through? Absolutely. But I believe that he'd give you the best life that you could ever imagine if you just, you know, just surrendered to him and gave him your life and just served him for the rest of your days. And really, that's what it's going to take to fulfill the Great Commission. It's going to take each and every Christian out there just realizing that what they want to do doesn't matter, and realizing that what God wants them to do does, and just surrendering to that fact. It does a lot for somebody. But just getting the gospel out to everybody is one thing, but if we could disciple those that got saved and send them out as well, multiplication, but the motto of multiplication, that works too. It's multiplication, you know, it's not adding one, two here every, you know, year and a half. It's going out, seeing somebody saved, bringing them back into church, and watching them grow, you yourself discipling them, taking them alongside of you in your life, and showing them this is how you serve the Lord, and then having them do that as well. So first, in 2 Timothy 2, in verse number 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." And this was kind of one of the theme verses for the trip. And I'm going to be real quick here, running out of time. The first role of discipleship is to make disciples. You can't have a disciple unless they are saved first. So go out, witness to people, see somebody saved. Awesome. You're not done, okay? You see somebody saved, bring them to church and get them in their word. In the word, all right. But before you can be a disciple maker, you have to be a disciple worth duplicating. You can't wake up one day and think I'm going to have a disciple. You have to be able to live the Christian life. You know, you have to have a steady prayer life, a steady witnessing life, a steady you know, a learning life, a steady life in the word, right? And if you're not doing these things before you are a disciple maker, you're not going to be doing them when you're a disciple maker. And so you're not a disciple worth duplicating, if that makes sense. You can't show somebody how to live a Christian life if you're not living the Christian life yourself. I think that makes more sense. And then make disciples, be a disciple worth duplicating, and then just keep going, keep multiplying. Teach them how to witness to somebody, and then once they see somebody saved, teach them how to be a disciple maker. And if they're following you as you follow Christ, then they'll be ready to have someone follow them as they follow Christ. And that theory of multiplication, if that was to, you know, if you were able to do that and you were able to make a disciple once every 4 months, and then them making a disciple with you every 4 months, and that just keeps going on and on. So within a year, there'd be six of you. And just from that, I think that's right. I might be wrong. I need to sit down and actually work that out. So it'd be you discipling someone 4 months. Next 8 months, there'd be four of you. 12 months, there'd be eight of you. So that's 1 year, there's eight of you. So I think he said you could complete the Great Commission in 30 years if you're just by yourself. But if we had, you know, if we had our church and the church down the road doing this, and the Grace up in Monticello doing this, I mean, you could reach the world a whole lot faster than just one person. So just that multiplication principle, that's what it is, principle of multiplication. That's the word I was looking for. If we put that into practice and into use, the Lord will help us see the Great Commission fulfilled in our generation. And that's what I'm praying for. I want to see that Great Commission fulfilled in my generation. And by the time I'm, 50, 60, I want to be able to say the whole world has heard the gospel from some preacher or another. And so that's what I'm going for, and I'd like for y'all to join me. let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be back in your house tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd just use the message tonight, Lord. I pray that you'd just prick the hearts of those that need pricked, Lord. And Lord, if someone needs to get right with you tonight, I pray that they would. And Lord, I pray that you'd just convict the sinner here tonight, Lord. If there's anyone lost and needs saved, Lord, I pray that they'd get saved tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for everything that you do in each and every one of our lives, Lord. And in Jesus' name, amen.